Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on RadioMD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded us from. Today's a great guest. This is section 1013, 1013B. So this is almost the end of the 20th year. You say 20 times 52 should be 10,040. No, we always have a best of the week between December 25th and January 1st. So this is getting to the end of the 20th year. We have a special section on longevity when we hit 1020. The B's are always the guest segment. And as usual, we're brought to you by Persona Nutrition. You can use Persona for your vitamins and supplements. Persona experts cut through the hype and confusion. Imagine supplements customized to your needs. You can visit mypersona.com and take the online assessment. The B's are always the guest segment, and we have a great guest for you. I last ran across this guest in 1996. He can tell you about that. I was lucky enough, but he has joined and been at the Cleveland Clinic for the last at least 10 years. He'll have to tell you exactly how many. Maybe it's 11. And is one of the key people in cancer management, medical management, and is going to talk to us about the advances, and they're tremendous advances. You'll want to learn about this in immunotherapy. Everyone knows about the immune system now because of COVID and our immunity with vaccines. Let's bring in Dale. Dale is a hematologist and medical oncologist, but he did his clinical pharmacology way back when at the University of Chicago, medical education at The Ohio State University, and has been at the Cleveland Clinic ever since. Dale, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for offering.
Tell us, why did it take so long for us to discover immunotherapy for cancer? And I guess before we do that, what is immunotherapy? And we've been doing this for a long time, since smallpox. We've known about the immune system, I guess, maybe before that. Talk to us about the immune system and then about why it took us so long to bring it to cancer.
Yeah, so thanks for bringing forward this really important topic. And like you say, there's some really exciting things going on in immunotherapy. So I guess to sort of preface this, we've been using immunotherapy for a while in medicine, maybe not necessarily in a way we think of it today, but for instance, when we've managed superficial or non-muscle invasive, a bladder cancer that hasn't gone into the muscle and beyond, we've historically injected something which is a bacterial product that elicited immune response. And so we may not have thought about it as a cool new immunotherapy, but that's really what we were doing way back then. I think what has happened is we've understood more about cells and how cells work and how the immune system works within the body to be able to harness some of those processes to come up with very, very specific ways to target them. And I think that's been the biggest difference.
And so now one of the things is the immune system attacks things that it doesn't know about. In other words, it's protected from attacking our own cells usually. And what is it that we try and do with cancer immunotherapy? So you've spoken about bladder cancer, which we inject, what is it, a bacteria into the
BCG,
into the cancer itself. Talk to us about what we're doing now and why it took so long to bring the immunotherapy to cancer.
Yeah, so really when we think about the current immunotherapies, I like to think of it as really two approaches that we try to look at. So much as you said, you know, the immune system, we're supposed to recognize things that aren't ourselves and get rid of them. And when you think about it, you get a virus, and the immune system recognizes that virus that you can't see, and you get an immune response, and a robust immune response. And by comparison, you may have a tumor, a cancer that's several inches in size, and although it started off as part of oneself, and so it has what's called self identification, it's clearly not normal, and it clearly shouldn't be there, but the immune system doesn't recognize it. So I like to think of the immune therapies that are being developed in two different pathways. One, how do we get the immune system to recognize a cancer as something that shouldn't be there? How do we unmask that tumor so that the immune system can recognize it and kill it? And the second pathway is, how do we get the immune system revved up specifically to attack a tumor? So not sort of uncloaking the tumor, but actually going out and attacking it. We actually have some successes along both of those pathways. The time it's taken, quite honestly, has been understanding what exactly it takes to do each of those. What exactly is causing the tumor to be hidden? And how do we get an immune system to be very, very specific to attack a tumor and not other cells in the body? So a lot of it has just been learning the things that were necessary to know exactly how to be that precise.
And how big a difference does this make? In other words, when you started practicing, immune therapy was a dream, if you will, and in research studies. But now, I imagine you're treating people routinely with it. Is that right? And how routinely, and how big a difference does it make?
Yeah, so these immunotherapies, the arm of immunotherapy that deals with the uncovering a cancer, that line of therapy is called called checkpoint inhibitors. Those checkpoint inhibitors are things you might even see advertised on television, that they've become so common, and they are approved in a wide range of tumors, head and neck cancers, lung cancer, kidney cancer, now some breast cancers. They are also approved for some characteristics of tumors, whether they have a particular defect in enzymes, whether they're missing something that's fundamental to those cells. And so those have been by far the most common, and they have made a tremendous impact. And the impact, I think, is in a couple of different ways. If we give a traditional chemotherapy, it can make people very sick, and there can be a relatively small number of people that have a response to that treatment. So people might be used to having a pneumonia. They go to the doctor and get an antibiotic, and it goes away, and it pretty much happens in everyone. But when you get chemotherapy, traditional chemotherapy, we're oftentimes looking at 15 or 20% of people that have a meaningful response. With the immunotherapies, we find that sometimes there's a much larger number of people, that there's a greater number of people that might have an initial response, and the response might be a much longer response than what we see with chemo. So more a greater number of people that respond, and for a much longer period of time, and oftentimes with a lot fewer side effects than what we would see with traditional chemo. So they truly have made a tremendous impact in how we take care of patients with cancer.
Now, I ran across you, or we ran across each other, I should say, in 1996. But about 20 years, actually about 17 years before that, I ran across a guy named Jim Allison. And the fun story about Jim Allison is that he is a avid guitarist and musician, and his group is known as the Checkpoints. Do you know that story?
I was unaware of that. It's so fitting, but I.
So I should tell our audience, we're talking with Dale Shepherd, who is one of the outstanding medical oncologists at the Cleveland Clinic. We're talking about immunotherapy, And Jim Allison received the Nobel Prize for his work in developing immunotherapy. He was at UCSF, University of California, San Francisco, where I was. We both were involved in immune system at that time. And he had this musical group, and he was singing the immunotherapy blues at a Berkeley coffee house in 2001 because of the failure of all the studies on immunotherapy to show a difference. And that's because they all were about, at that time, one-year studies. And so he insisted on doing a three-year study, which led to the data that showed how effective immunotherapy was. The great thing is his musical group, he is entitled the Checkpoints, because he came up with the concept of checkpoint inhibitors. Your path and my path, and so there's one degree of separation from you and Jim Allison, if you will.
I'll have to get on one of the music sites and see if I can find a copy of that.
Anyway, the most amazing part of that, and I should tell you, and I don't know if our listeners care to hear about this, but hopefully they will, at least some of them, since there are 50,000 of them or more a week, is that the interesting thing is, although he's been on the cover of many scientific journals now or scientific reporting journals because he won the Nobel Prize, he was on the cover. He may be the only person who's been on the cover of Nature and on the cover of the Rolling Stone magazine. So he was on the cover of Rolling Stone in 2000, and I think it was one, for singing the immunotherapy blues.
That's quite a distinction.
Describe to us what a checkpoint is and why it's important, why this is one of the immunotherapy breakthroughs.
So really the fundamental reason that these checkpoint inhibitors work is the ability, as I mentioned, to sort of unmask the tumor. They're a tumor cell, to be recognized as abnormal, has to be recognized by one of the immune cells called a T cell. So T cells are these cells that can kind of come up and recognize a protein and say, this isn't normal, it's not supposed to be there. And then it can elicit the immune response that goes and kills that tumor. So tumors, being smart and like bacteria, they develop resistance mechanisms and ways that the body will not get rid of them, have a particular protein that will block that pathway so that the tumors won't be recognized by the immune system. So what's kind of unique with the mechanism of the checkpoint inhibitors is it's a drug that will bind to that receptor, and it will block that protein or that receptor so that now the T cell can come in, that immune cell can say, hey, now this is something that shouldn't be there. And then it can actually work toward killing that tumor. So it's really that mechanism of blocking something that shouldn't be there to sort of hide the tumor.
And in addition to that form of immunotherapy, are there other things we use? You spoke of, so there are two types of immunotherapy, I guess, you've talked about so far, one of which is the injection of bacteria into the tumor itself to cause an immune response, and the second is this: do we have any vaccines, or are we using vaccination as a process now as well?
Well, we are, and I guess when we think about treating cancer, the vaccines will actually come into a couple of different ways. We know that some cancers are developed as a result of infection with a virus, so. We know that cervical cancer, some head and neck cancers, come about because of something called HPV, the human papillomavirus. And so if we were to give a vaccine to get rid of the human papillomavirus, we can decrease the actual incidence of cancer. So when we think about immunotherapy, it's not only using an immunotherapy to treat a cancer that has developed, but equally important, if you don't get the cancer in the first place, even easier to treat.
Now,
so by giving a vaccine and minimizing the presence of a virus, you can minimize the presence of that cancer.
When I told one of my patients, also at the Cleveland Clinic, but a patient who said, wondered, is there a reason to give the vaccine to someone who's already got cervical cancer? In other words, do we ever give the vaccine after someone's gotten an HPV infection, and will it help, or is that not yet developed, or do we not know yet?
We really don't use that vaccine in a setting to treat tumors. It's really more to prevent the formation of tumors. But it is interesting that we do use vaccines, or we use something called oncolytic viruses. So we do actually do vaccine therapies where we directly inject a viral particle. We take a virus and we inject it into a tumor. And that virus will grow within the tumor. It will cause the tumor to break open. And then by breaking that tumor open, you develop an immune response that the immune system will then subsequently treat the tumor. So we actually give an infection, if you will, in order to get that immune system to recognize a tumor that we've injected. So that's another way that we can use immunotherapies to treat cancers. The other way that I'll point out is when I mentioned that arm of immunotherapy where we're getting cells to attack, the immune system to attack a tumor, is taking white blood cells out of the body, taking those white blood cells, these T cells, and engineering them, something called CAR T cells. We're taking the cells and we're making them so that they recognize a very, very specific protein on the tumor cell. This is what gives it specificity. This is what gives it the ability to go look just for the cancer cells. Not like chemotherapy, where anything that's fast is affected, that grows fast is affected, but can we find a protein on that cancer cell? And so we take these immune cells and we engineer them and give them back into the person, and they go and they actively seek out the cancer to attack it. And that's another way that we can use immunotherapy. And that's been really approved at this point for leukemias and some lymphomas. And the reason for that is that those cells will all have a similar protein that we can target. It's been more of a challenge in solid tumors to find that protein, but it's certainly been effective in some lymphomas and some leukemias.
So I'm going to take a short commercial announcement now, but when we come back, what I'd hope to do, Dr. Shepherd, is one, find out if people want to talk to you or find out more. Is there a website that either at the Cleveland Clinic or that you have that we can target or we can point them to? And the second thing is, I'm going to ask you about what you think the future holds for immunotherapy. Will we develop a lot more? And what are the side effects of immunotherapy? But in the meantime, I want to remind people that Persona Nutrition is our sponsor. And if you're confused about vitamins or supplements, Persona experts cut through the hype and can tailor supplements just to your needs. You can visit mypersona.com and take the free online assessment or talk to a nutritionist. It's all free, no obligation. So let's return to Dr. Shepherd now. So is there a website if people want to find out more about immunotherapy or about you that they can log on to?
So certainly if people want to come to the Cleveland Clinic website, there's certainly information about myself, about my colleagues. If people have a particular cancer they might want information about.
So that's
we actually
is that clevelandclinic.com? Cleveland.org, or is there another
website? So clevelandclinic.org would be good. That way, if you have specific questions about cancers, you can find not only information about the cancers in general, but about myself and about my colleagues that might be good providers to reach out to. And that's probably a great place to start, because we have good information not only about the tumors themselves and how we manage those diseases, but about providers that might be able to help out. And we're always eager to do that.
And I've got to tell you, Jamie Abraham, who works with breast cancer, has been a great help to one of my patients, if you will. So it's a great resource, is the physicians who specialize in oncology and oncologic treatment at the clinic. So, Dr. Shepherd, tell us what you expect. What will be the next developments in immunotherapy? And the other thing that has been asked by the listeners here when we told them you were going to be on was, what's the difference in side effects between chemotherapy and immunotherapy?
Yeah, so maybe we'll cover that one first, because I think it's important to realize that anything we give as a therapy for cancer can potentially have side effects. It's a matter of balancing side effects and benefits. The side effects from immunotherapy are different than the traditional side effects we think about with chemotherapy, and it has to do with mechanism. So the traditional chemotherapy is really aimed at treating cells that are growing quickly. It stops DNA replication, protein synthesis. So in that setting, there are other cells in one's body that are growing quickly. People lose hair because their hair is growing. People have low blood counts because their bone marrow is always putting out new red blood cells and white blood cells and platelets. And so people might have nausea because the GI tract, the entire GI tract is always regenerating cells. So the chemotherapy side effects we get are because other cells in the body are growing quickly. When we think about immunotherapy, you don't really think about having those same sorts of side effects, but there's some inflammatory side effects that we see. And so we need to be mindful of things like in inflammation of the intestines. So sometimes people will get some cramping or diarrhea from that. People can get some inflammation of their liver. People can get inflammation of their thyroid. They can get short of breath from inflammation in their lungs. So it's really more, usually side effects tend to be from the checkpoint inhibitors. Specifically, the ones that I just mentioned are those things called checkpoint inhibitors, which are by far the most common, really more inflammatory. If you think about some of the other immune therapies, people might get flu-like symptoms. So really it's more that people are getting side effects from an immune response rather than just eliminating cells that are growing quickly. So totally different side effect profile.
Dr. Shepherd, thank you very much for coming on. That one last question, what do you expect will happen in immunotherapy 5 or 10 years from now? Do you expect we'll get much greater use of it? Will we be able to wipe out more cancers? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, so I think that immunotherapies are definitely something we'll continue to try to capitalize on in terms of management of this disease. And I think it's going to be something that we should really focus on multiple aspects of cancer management. We've touched upon trying to prevent the development of cancer in the first place. We need to do a lot more work just trying to minimize the chance that people get cancer in the first place. So I think vaccines, for instance, can play a very, very important role. And if we can do a good job of trying to minimize viral causes of cancer, we can have a significant impact. Most of the immunotherapies right now are being used in a setting where people have advanced disease that might not be able to be cut out surgically, that might not be able to be treated by radiation. People that have stage 4 or metastatic disease is by far the most common use of checkpoint inhibitors and most of these other immunotherapies. If we can try to move that use of immunotherapy to a setting called adjuvant therapy, where someone has just had a surgery to remove a tumor that we think is likely to come back, if we can give immunotherapy right after that surgery to try to kill any cells that might be circulating around, we might be able to stop the further development of that cancer. And so moving more immunotherapy to different settings than where it's traditionally used could be very, very helpful. And I think the other thing we're going to learn is how to use multiple types of immunotherapy in a way where we can really totally shut down the cancer cells by looking at different ways, multiple ways, much like in chemotherapy. We use different chemotherapy drugs with different mechanisms of action, different ways to kill cells. If we can do that with immunotherapy in a way that's not too toxic, that's going to be a benefit. And perhaps if we use immunotherapies in combination with chemotherapy as a second way to try to kill those tumor cells, that also might be a very, very effective way to get higher response rates, more people with tumor that shrinks, and with more durable responses, people who have those responses last for a much longer period of time.
I take it that you have great hope for immunotherapy expanding and us using chemo, and us I use in the generic us as scientists, physicians, us developing and using chemotherapy in a more intense way, a broader way, to help cure cancer.
I think that that certainly is a hope that I have.
Thank you very much. And again, the website is clevelandclinic.org, and you can go to the Taussig Cancer Institute site to find Dr. Shepherd and other physicians you can contact. This has been episode 1013B. The B's are always the guest segments of You, the Owner's Manual podcast. Please feel free to look and download the A segment. We appreciate it. You're the ones who we do this for. And the A segment is always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. Caitlin, thanks for engineering. And Dr. Shepherd, of course, for coming on. We'll be back next week with another guest and another latest medical news of the week in the A segment. Thanks again.